Great. Well, good morning. It's great to be with you this morning and to be able to share the word. But before I share the word with you, I'll just give you a little bit of detail about what we've been doing together this year, because I feel like it's something we do together. Every time I hop on a plane, because of your support and your help, you contribute to that. So although you may not come to the nations I go to, in one way, you as a church collectively are part of what we are doing and partnering with us. Is that a bit loud, or am I right, or it's all good? Okay.
Sounds like Moses.
Okay, very good. We're all good. As long as you're happy. Some of you don't look happy. Can you tell the person next to you to smile? It's a good day. Jesus is alive. We're in church. It's a good place to be. We can be happy. So at the beginning of this year, I took on the role of assisting Pastor Barry, who is our CRC International Missions Director. So I work for him. And in that role, I'm no longer full-time on the mission field, but still full-time missionaries based from Cairns. So I'll travel about 6 months of the year. So this year, I spent a month in Myanmar, and part of that time, Pastor David was with me as well. And I've also done two trips to India. Both of those were for a month long each trip. So November, my whole month of November, I was in India. And then June, July, crossing over there, Sandra and I were in India for a month together as well. I've also done a couple of trips to the Philippines, also a couple of trips into Papua New Guinea, back into the church there and running leadership training in Papua New Guinea, and also a trip for about a couple of weeks to the Solomon Islands, where we have a Bible school and a great work there. So most of my work nowadays is teaching in Bible schools and mission schools, preparing that next generation of young people who feel the call of God for ministry, and also mentoring of young pastors and leaders. And I'll talk some more about some of the young leaders that we have in India as I share the word as well. But that's my primary role, primary activity. And I will, in the next coming months, be taking on more of a role in India and the work there. We have just a little baby work. It's a new work, but we have a number of churches that we've planted with pretty raw young leaders. And we have a Bible school there that has about 30 or so young people at it who are training. It's very, very exciting to see just the power of the Word of God touching their lives, and then them grabbing hold of the call of God and going out and wanting to reach others with that message of Jesus Christ in a nation where there is 1.2 billion people, and Christianity is just such a small part of the population. And particularly in the area where we work, there is not a huge Christian presence at all, and our guys there are persecuted and a whole heap of things, but we'll talk about that a bit more later. But I do really want to say thank you again. I do feel, as I go, you're coming with me, although I send reports and information, but it is something we're doing together. And we couldn't do it. Sandra and I couldn't do it. I couldn't travel unless there was churches like yours partnering with us to do that role. So big thank you. And just loving the change of role. It's been great for us as a family, just on a personal note, to be together a lot more. And Sandra's loving being a mum and having her two boys with her, because they were apart. They lived in Cairns our oldest son lived in Cairns for 3 years before we arrived. And our second born son, Benjamin, he was there for a year before we arrived. So it's great being together as a family. And when we're back, when I'm in Cairns, we're together as a family. So that's really, really nice and real joy to be able to be together. And the main reason for coming back was for the kids' education, just and to be together as a family, because we needed that just during their high school years, just to get them through. So our oldest son turned 16 yesterday. It's pretty scary. I don't feel like I'm old enough to have a 16-year-old son. And this last month we're having a time in Adelaide to visit our supporting churches, but also to do some family stuff, which has been great. So on Friday night, we got to go to the cricket and see the Strikers win, which was great, but it was very, very hot, unbelievably hot. But we made it through. So we'll jump straight into the word now. And so this morning, I want to talk about the authority of the word. And that the need for us to understand as believers that the word has authority, it has power, and it's contained within the scriptures. And if we don't understand that, we're missing something. And the reality is, if we don't grab hold of the word of God and know that it has authority and power and have an understanding of the word, we will never grow to full maturity. And that might sound like a big statement. But without the understanding and taking hold of the Word of God and allowing it to have authority and power in our lives, As believers, as followers of Christ, we will never grow to full maturity. We need the Word. We need the Scriptures in our life. We need to be dedicated to the Word. Just like a plant needs light, it needs water, it needs air, it needs nutrients, it needs temperature, and it needs time to grow. If you take one of those elements out of a plant's development, it will not grow to full maturity. In Cairns, just before we came down, we hadn't had rain for a number of months. So my lawn at our house was looking very, very brown. And maybe that's normal here for Adelaide, that this time of the year your lawns look brown. But in Cairns, we're in the tropics, so you don't expect the tropics to have brown lawn. But we hadn't had rain for a while, and my lawn was looking very, very brown because it hadn't had any water. Take out the water from my grass and it does not grow. We take out the Word out of our life and we become dry. We don't grow. We don't reach full maturity. We don't become all that God has us to be. If you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and this is talking about the first church and just about some of the things that they were doing that helped that very first church grow to full maturity. And we see the emphasis on the teaching, and I'm going to take that teaching to mean the Word. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing of in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer." And if you look at this, there's four things there about what they did. But the part that I want to look at particularly this morning is that this very first church, these very first group of believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is really is to the Scriptures, to the understanding of the message of Jesus Christ. And in that environment, the church exploded. In that environment where they devoted themselves to the Word, there was growth and maturity in the lives of the believers. The first church understood the need for the Word. That word devoted is that it's more than just, it's something out there. As a devoted husband, I'm loving, I'm kind, I'm committed, I'm faithful to my wife. How devoted are we to the Word? But they were devoted to the Word, devoted to the apostles' teachings. They sewed themselves in. They had a commitment to the Word. They were loyal to the Word. They were obedient to the Word. And the Word had, in that environment, had authority and power in their lives. And if you read the book of Acts, it's just amazing the stories of what took place in the disciples' lives. But that's not meant to be stories from 2,000 years ago. That's meant to be a reality today for you and I. So what was the apostles' teachings? And if we have a look at Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, you see there, but it really is the message of Jesus Christ, that he lived, he died, he rose again. And as you read through the Apostle Paul's teaching, it really is that message of Jesus Christ's life and his death and his resurrection to overcome the power of sin and death in our lives, and that he was a substitute for you and for me. That's the gospel. And we're told in the Scriptures that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We need to commit ourselves to this Word. The Scriptures, the message of Jesus, the gospel. That is the message of the New Testament. It is the gospel. It's a message that has power and brings transformation when we devote ourselves to the Word. The Word still has power today. And that's a good question, because the Word is being challenged today. Does the Word have the right to speak to us today? The Word does still have power. If you look at Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting through soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires." Wow, that's scary. When we devote ourselves to the Word, it cuts through all our, rubbish, all those things that we put up, all those excuses that we make, all those things that we can put up and say, "Oh, this is important, this is most important." All those things around us, the Word of God comes through all of that, right to the center of who we are. Such an important thing that we devote ourselves to the Word and allow the Word to speak to our core, to speak to the center of who we are, because it's living, it's alive. In the Scriptures, there's life there in those Scriptures and power there in those Scriptures. But the Word is being challenged. And most of you would believe what I've already said, but the Word today is being challenged. Its authority is being challenged. Does it really have the right to speak? And a number of months ago, there was much debate on TV about gay marriage. And in the context of all of that, Christians were putting up their views. And I was watching a debate on one of the news channels. And people were really angry, saying, what right does a book that's over 2,000 years old have to, what right does that have to speak to my life today? It's irrelevant. It's got no use. Why does it have the right to speak to me? And I thought, wow, that is a really angry reaction to the Word and the authority of the Word. But we need to be careful that we don't allow that type of thinking to come into our own lives, or that we just put the Word to one side at some stages. So I know what I need to do. I know where I'm going. But the Word has the right to speak. It has power to speak. It's a big challenge. Jesus was even challenged on this. In Mark chapter 11, verse 28, that scripture's not there, but in Mark chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus is questioned, by what authority did you do these things? What authority? Who gave you authority to speak? Who gave you authority to do the things that you do? And the story before that is that he's gone and cleaned out the temple. He's gone in and chased out the money sellers. He's cleaned out the temple. He's come in there, and then the religious leaders came to him and said, what authority do you have to do these things? Who gave you authority to speak? Who gave you authority to heal the sick, to forgive the sins, to clean out the temple? And that question is a question that's really been asked and answered by society, and says, well, they say that Christ has no authority, that the Word of God still has no authority to speak. But he does. And if we want to grow in maturity, we need to be absolutely convinced that the Word has authority to speak into our lives. And not just that, but to put ourselves in a place where we allow the Scripture to speak to us, that we allow the Scripture to speak into our lives and our circumstances and our situations, even when it's uncomfortable. Because the Scripture talks about sacrifice. And we live in a world now, or the Western world in particular, that doesn't like a gospel that includes sacrifice. And much preaching is preaching that doesn't include any sort of a message, or has a message that eliminate sacrifice, that it's all good, it's all happy, you follow Christ, and it's just blessing after blessing after blessing, which is true, but it doesn't talk about sacrifice. The whole issue of gay marriage is a challenge to what we believe on the authority of the Word. The exclusivity of Christ, that Jesus Christ himself said, no one comes to the Father unless they come through me. And that's a challenge to us as we live in a multicultural society. As I go to India and Myanmar and there's all these other religions, I have to be able to be absolutely convinced that Jesus Christ is the answer and he is the only way to the Father. Because if I'm not convinced of that, why would I go? Why would I share the gospel? If all roads lead to heaven and lead to our Father in heaven as we know him, then why would we preach? What's the need? There isn't. We've got to be convinced of the authority of the Word. Another one is sex before marriage. That's been shattered years and years ago, that idea in our culture that sex before marriage is normal. But that is not what the Scripture teaches. That we need to look after the widows. Scripture teaches that. That the judgment of Christ, that one day we are going to find Christ and he will judge us. The good and the bad, and we will be judged. We know that for the believer that is a liberating thing, because we know when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the judgment of our sins is dealt with through Christ. But each and every human being will face Christ and be judged. That's one part of the judgment. The other part of the judgment is that Christ will judge us according to what we did with the gifts and talents and abilities that he's given us. And there is a judgment. And the Scriptures talk about that. And this is the realities of the Word. And allowing these things to speak to us and allowing them to influence what we do. But just like Jesus was challenged, do you have authority? What authority do you have? The Scriptures today can be challenged. Do they really have authority? And we need to say yes, that the Word of God has authority. No ifs, buts, or maybe. The Word of God is the Word of God and it is true and powerful. And when we allow it to work in our life, man, things take change takes place. Let's have a look at in Luke chapter 1, verse 37 and 38. There's the story of Mary. And Mary responds to the Word. And you know the story. The angel came to her, told her these things that were just probably blew her mind away. Thought, how could all of that happen? And then in verse 37, in the NIV, it says, nothing is impossible with God. But in the New Living Translation, it says, for the word of God will never fail. The word of God will never fail. And then Mary's response to that, that the word of God would never fail, was, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me, come true to me. May it be to me as you have said. So her response to this amazing word that was put over her life was, by faith, she said, may it be. Let it be. I'm willing to take on the word of God. This word that never fails. This word that the angel declared will never fail. She's willing to respond to it with faith. That needs to be our response to the word. For it to have power and have authority in our life, we need to respond to it. It says, yes, it works, and it works by faith, as we put our faith in the word, the scriptures. Let's have a look at some people. We're going to look at a couple of photos of some people where the word of God has worked powerfully in their life. And these are some friends of mine from India. this photo was taken in June, July, when Sondra and I were there. Now, this couple here, the husband and his wife, we met them about 3 years ago, and she was desperately sick. They were a desperately poor family. You may not look at their photo and think, oh, they're a very poor family, but they are desperately poor. They lived in one little room with a dirt floor. We went to their house and visited them because she was sick. She was part of the church there, so they'd already given their life to Christ. They were on that journey of faith, but they were very new Christians. I went and prayed for her. Sondra and I went into their house. We prayed with them. We had a very basic meal with them. But out of that time, Christ healed her at that time. And then a few years later, I went back and we were at the church when this photo was taken. She says, do you remember when you came to my house? When you prayed for me, the Lord healed me. I said, that's fantastic. So they said, can you come to our house for a meal? The first house we went to go and visit them, we had to roll up our pants and walk through water this deep. And it was almost like a paddy field that had cows in it that had done all their business in that water as well. So we walked through this mud and we got to the other end and our feet are all covered in mud. And it was just this very simple, very basic house. So I was expecting to go back there. We ended up at a different place. Not a deluxe accommodation, but it was up from where they were. And they were just saying, oh, the Lord's giving us favour. So we went there in June, July, and were able to have a meal with them, have fellowship with them, and their house and the owner of the house's place, it was sort of like a half-height wall, and you could hear everything both ways. So we had a singing in there and everything else with this Hindu family next door, but that's okay. Then this time I went back in November. They said, I'll come to our house again, another different house again, another step up from where they'd been. And we were just talking, and she had this big smile on her face, and it's all done through translators. I'm talking to her and saying, you know, and she's saying, God's blessed us. And I thought, yes, he has blessed you, but I know how hard they work. And I said, well, you also work very hard. And I know that, you know, you work hard, and God is blessing your hand of your work. And she just looked at me and basically corrected me and said, yeah, but before we were saved, we also worked very, very hard. She said, this is the favour and the provision of the Lord on our life. And hopefully, the Lord willing, very soon this man will rent a little room where he will set up a little shop, a coffee shop to sell food from. He has a little stall on the side of the street, a cart that he sells from. So he's hoping to move into a little room where people can come and sit and have their meals there. So, but you just see how the favour of God and the blessing of God upon them, because they've put their trust in the word. The provision of God. The little girl at the front, she's so sweet. She's about the same age as my youngest daughter, and she's at 12 years of age saying, I want to serve the Lord full time. Once I finish my school, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to go to a Bible school and become a missionary. So that's very exciting. Let's have a look at the next photo. This couple, the one holding the baby and the man in the middle, they are the pastors of our church in a place called Tezpur. They have been pastoring the church there for about 4 years. The church now has about 45 to 50 people there. In November, I didn't preach at their church, but Pastor Barry preached there. And as he shared, as they had the worship time, he said that just during that worship, 45 people just started to pray in tongues and move in the Spirit. And just the sense of the anointing and the presence of God there is just amazing. But The wife, Seema, she is the first Christian in her family. She comes from a Hindu background. So as far back as she can look in her history, there is no evidence of Christianity in her family, which is an issue for them as a couple because they have a little boy there. His name is Chris Zion. And when the grandmother comes and takes him home to look after him for a while, he comes back singing Hindu songs and doing Hindu dances. So they're grappling with how do we stay connected with our mum and dad, but still raise our child in the ways of the Lord. So, but they're a fine couple. But they face persecution. They've had difficulty there in Tezpur. In June, July, when we were there, they said to us, look, you can come and minister in the church, but you can't go to people's houses because there is so much persecution happening at this time. The people after Sunday said, come to our house anyway. We're willing to take the responsibility. So we went into to some slums and some settlement areas, and these are intense environments where you go in and everybody knows you are there, especially if you're white. You stand out like a sore thumb. And then you start singing or share anything in everybody's house, and everybody hears what everybody's doing. So we're doing that and trying to cast out a demon and do a few other things in this house. So everybody knew we were there. And that's a mix of Hindus and Muslims and all in this really intense area. So, but these people, these young men, this young fella, and Peter, the guy with him, is one of his workers there. They are men of faith, where the word of God has taken hold of their heart. They've left their culture, left the things that would hold them back from following Christ, and said, no, we are committed to sharing the gospel with others. So very exciting. Peter runs an evangelism team where they travel out from Tezpur out sort of about 40 k's, 50 k's to share the gospel in other towns and places around the area. And earlier this year, they were chased out of one town and said, if you come back here, we will kill you. So that's the sort of threats that these guys face. So next one. No, wrong way. These three girls are three girls who the word of God has taken hold of their lives. Basically, these girls are fairly uneducated. And in India, they would be either working in a rice paddy field, in the gardens doing tasks like that to earn just a little bit of money to live day by day. But Christ has taken hold of their life. They were trained in our Bible college. And we sent those three girls to another city called Jalpaiguri, and said to them, plant a church. We hired a building, put them in the house, and said, go for it. So they go door to door, visiting, trying to find contacts to lead people to Christ. And one of these contacts is this next man in this next photo. That's his little son there. And this man, he is actually from Bangladesh, but has been in India for quite some time. And our team leader had, about a month before this photo was taken, had seen this man, and he came to her and said, look, can I have a Bible? I'm Hindu. I've read the Quran and it didn't help me. I want a Bible. So she said, I'll get you a Bible. It had to be a specific language, which was Bengali, which is a little bit hard to get. She wasn't able to get a Bible for him over that month. But then a month later, she's at the market and we're staying at the house at the base, and she sees this man again. And he says, I need that Bible. My life is falling apart. I need help. My son is sick. That little boy there was desperately sick. And because of that, he'd sold everything that he had to get medication for him. He had nothing left. His eldest son, who was about 19, 20, had married a young lady, and they had basically moved out of his house but taken all his furniture and a whole heap of things and stolen from them. His wife was just out of just everything was falling apart for her, so she was out of control. And he came to the house and basically said, look, I'm suicidal. And he was thinking of ending his life. So I had some time with him, was able to share the gospel with him, and he just said, pray for me, pray for me. This is all done through translators, so it's hard to have a long conversation and stuff. Some things get lost in translation, but that night, I had the opportunity to pray for him. I said, I'll get you a Bible. I'll pray for your son now, but if you could bring your son tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'll pray for your boy. So he prayed and he went home. As soon as we finished prayer, he stood up and left. No goodbye, nothing. So I think, I don't know, have we offended him? Is he upset? What's he going to do? No idea. But at 8:30 the next morning, he comes back and brings his little boy. Sits down, has a cup of tea with us. We're able to pray for him again, pray for that little boy. That little boy's all happy and healthy now. So, but we could see that the heaviness that was on his face had lifted. I'd rung overnight, rung our base and said, get me a Bengali Bible. I don't know, I care what you have to do, just get it here by tomorrow. So one of the boys ran around, found them, hopped on a bus at 7 o'clock in the morning and caught that bus to where we were. And as this man was leaving, the Bible arrived and we were able to hand it to him. And since then, he's been reading the scriptures. Every night he'll read the Bible. Every night he'll go through the scriptures and talk to his family, talk to his wife about the Word of God. And it's just bringing change and in his life. So much so that in November this year, we got the photo. Yep. In November this year, Pastor Barry had the privilege of baptizing this man. He is the first convert that we've got in Jalpaguri in this city. That these three girls who are moved by faith, moved by in response to the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, this man who was 3 months earlier suicidal and not knowing Christ and not knowing where to go and how life was going to work out, the Word of God has discipled him. These girls have spoken the Word of God into his life and he's been embraced it, living according to the Word, and wanted to get baptized. Absolutely delight and absolutely amazing to see. Next photo, that is where we had the baptism up on the fourth floor of our building that we rent for our Bible school, because we're not able to do baptisms out in public. It's just a bit too confrontational if we do it in places where people see us and stuff like that. So we did it up on the top of the rooftop around with the city around us, and that's our Bible college students there who are studying in our mission school. So is there another photo or is that the end? I think that's it. But I tell you those stories to tell you the Word of God is at work. These people who have had Hindu backgrounds, no understanding of the Word of God, as they hear the Word preached, as they embrace the Word of God, it brings transformation and change in their lives. And the exact same thing happens for you and I as we allow ourselves to live and dwell in the Word. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Or in other translations say, live in you, or let the message of Christ dwell within you. The challenge for you and I is to ensure that we allow the Word of God to live in us, that we live in the Word. And if I asked you today, how is your Bible reading? And how well do you do with reading the Scriptures? I would put my hand up and say, I would like to read the Word better. I think each and every one of us, if we, when confronted with that question, we can say, yeah, I'm not doing as well as I would like. No matter how much we do, we would always like to be able to do more. So I'm not asking that question as a question of judgment or trying to put a heavy on you. But I am asking that question because I know that the Word of God is powerful. And if we want to reach maturity, if we want to continue to grow in maturity, we need to allow the Word of God to have that place of importance in our life. We need to dwell in the Word. We need to live in the Word. Because it brings change, it brings transformation as we do that. It is powerful to transform and change us. So I want to ask that question again and ask you to not tell me, but just to reflect on that. How is your Bible reading? How are you going with spending time in the Word? And I want to encourage you, if you don't feel like it's at a place where it's doing well, that you would take some steps to move further along that journey of actually reading some scripture. And quite often when I was growing up and in the church, they would preach, oh, you need to read your Bible, read it 2 chapters, 3 chapters a day, and read through the whole Bible in a day. And I'd get to end of January and I'd have failed with it already, and it discouraged me, and I thought, I'm just going to give up on this thing. And I felt worse about it. And then sometimes I was just reading the Bible so I could tick the box to keep somebody happy, or maybe even keep God happy, so that I could feel like I'm a good Christian. And it's done. I've done my duty. But I know that didn't work for me. But I do know that if I meditate on the Word, if I put time aside to read the Word, and even if it is just reading one verse, even if it's listening to the Bible and the audio Bible, or as I'm on the train or traveling or on a plane, as spending time reading the Scriptures, that it brings change in me. And my goal for reading the Scriptures these days is not so much to try and read as much as I can, but actually to have the Holy Spirit speak to me through the Word. That's why I love the soap and the life journals that the Family Center's introduced. And I know they've taken that from Bill Hybels and Wayne Cadero and others who introduced that concept. But that idea of soap, where we read a Scripture, we make some observations, we write an application, and then we do a prayer. And that to me has transformed my Bible reading. When they introduced that at the Christian Family Center many years ago, I was a pastor already, But I know the discipline of that was transforming my life, because it wasn't so much about how much I read, but it was actually about allowing the Holy Spirit to bring a scripture alive to me each day that actually had application and meaning for me. And I know that that's where life has come for me. And I've seen things break through. I've heard promises that have just unfolded as I've actually gone through the discipline of spending, sometimes it's 15 minutes a day that I'll do. Sometimes I'm more disciplined with it and sometimes I aren't, because I'm traveling and I'm moving here and it doesn't happen. But I don't beat myself up over it anymore. I used to beat myself up. I think, oh, I'm a bad and this and that. But I'll actually just stick to the plan. If I miss a day, I miss that day and just read the day's reading that is for that day. I don't try and catch up 3 days if I've been flat out. Just stick to the one day, because I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me. That's my goal in my Bible reading, because I know when the Word of God comes, it brings change. And I want that goal for me. I'm asking you just to reflect on that. I don't want you to leave this place feeling like I brought a heavy on you and left you discouraged, but it's meant to be an inspiration or a challenge just to say, look, how can I lift the importance of the Word in my life? How can I lift the place that I put and the value I put on the Word in my own life? And if you need to make some changes, there's life journals out there. Grab one of them. Do follow the reading plan. If you have another reading plan, go with that. As long as it's whatever works for you that's consistent and gets the Word of God into your life and into your heart. Because we need to do it. And as you go through it, do it with faith. God, I know that these scriptures have power. I know that these scriptures, that when they speak to my life, they bring change. Because we're at the beginning, we're told in Genesis that God spoke and His Word created. He spoke, let there be light, and there was light. So let the seas separate, and the seas were separated. All these things were spoken by the Word of God, and it brought about change. The Word, the Scriptures, if we allow them to speak to our life, they'll bring change to us. The same one who said, let there be light, and there was light, is the same one who says that you're a new creation. So you are a new creation. It's the same one who says that all the old is gone and the new has come. He says that, so it's true for your life. That the scriptures tell us that we are crucified with Christ. Oh, that's wonderful news. That when we think about that, man, I'm crucified with Christ. All that condemnation, guilt and shame, that's dealt with because I'm dead with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. Now I live in Christ. Man, the scripture says that about you. That's exciting. So it is true because the scripture says it. Scripture says that we are healed in Christ, that the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective, to lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. God said, I am the God who heals you. The scripture says it, so it can be true. It is true for you and I if we embrace it. It's the same God who said, let there be light, is the same one who says that I am more than a conqueror, says that you are more than a conqueror. So it is. It's Him that says inside of Christ we have the victory. And maybe today, I felt this specifically as we're just sitting there, that there is some today that you're not feeling like you're living in that victory. 2016 was not a very victorious year for you. Whether others know it or not, you know inside that you felt you didn't walk in victory in 2016. It was a tough year where there wasn't victory for you. But Christ is saying, inside of Him, there is victory for you. Inside of Him, you walk in the victory. You walk in the victory of the things that Christ won on the cross, which is beat sin. The power of sin in our life is broken through Christ as we walk in Him, as we live in Him, as we allow Him to lead us into victory. Healing is ours as we walk in victory. Authority is ours as we walk in the victory that we have in Christ. And that I am provided for. Hallelujah. And that's one for Sandra and I. We live by faith, and our personal support and our travel costs are dependent on other people and their generosity. But I can look at it that way and think, man, it's very risky what we are doing. Or I can look at it, God, you promised, you've called me to do this, you're my provider. I choose to remind myself when I feel stressed about it sometimes that, God, you are the one who called me, you are the one who provides for me. Your word declares that you will provide. Scripture tells me that the children of a righteous man will never beg for bread. And I hold on to that for my children. I think, Lord, I don't know how all this is going to work sometimes, but I know that you promise that if I stay righteous, if I follow in your footsteps, that my children won't end up begging for bread. And I hold on to that as a promise. And there are many promises. But along with all the promises, there are many thoughts, thousands of thoughts that raise up in our minds that rebel against the authority of the Word of God. And we need to stand against that rebellion, stand against those thoughts that would rebel and be disobedient to what the Word says as a reality for you and I. So it is our responsibility, or it's the responsibility of every believer, to devote ourselves to the Word, to stay steadfast in the Word and to stand firm in the Word. And that's my encouragement for you today. So can we all stand? I want to lead us in a prayer. As we stand, I'll ask the musicians to come. Just as we're standing and we're waiting for the musicians to start, I'd like you to reflect on the Word, and maybe there's a promise that the Lord has for you, just as I've shared, that you think, man, this is an area where I need to get a promise for God for. Or you think, man, you've neglected your Bible reading and you want to be devoted to the Word like the first believers were. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and you said that level of devotion for the Word, maybe it's not as strong as it could be or needs to be, and you'd like it to go up. Not out of guilt or shame, but out of just that desire to be close in the Word and deep in the Word and devoted to the Word, then maybe just as we reflect, you could make some decisions by faith to say, no, I'm going to see things different in 2017. Or maybe there's a promise for you for healing that you need, or a provision that you're looking to, or answers for direction. Then it's found in the Word. It's the Word of God that will provide for you. It's the Word of the God that has authority. And for some, maybe there's some sin or some struggle or areas of temptation. We're saying, God, I need that promise in the Word. I'm going to hold on to the Word to bring about change and transformation in my life and in my thinking. So as you reflect, and as the musicians play, let's just reflect on the Lord. Let's sing this together and allow the Word, allow the words that I've shared, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Because what is it is He saying to you today? So let's sing, and then once we've sung, I'm going to lead us in a prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, who is the living Word, that when Jesus, that living Word, comes and lives in our life, it brings amazing transformation and change. Lord, we thank you for the Scriptures that are powerful and alive and able to bring transformation and change. Lord, we thank you that they present to us the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. And Father, today we make a choice to stand affirm and refresh our commitment to the Word and the authority of the Word and the power of the Word in our life. Father, that for each one of us, we would be like those first disciples, devoted to the Word, that we would steadfastly stand in the promises of the Word, that we would hold on to the Word, and Lord, that we would be known as a group of people that are children of the Word, that we love the Scriptures, that they take the rightful place in our life, and that we love them and we receive life and power from them. Lord, that they nourish us, they help us grow and bring us to a place of full maturity. So Father, we look to your Word and we thank you for it. And Lord, we say, Lord, it has authority, it has the right, and it has power to bring transformation and change and to speak into our lives, and we choose to live according to the Word and the promises of the Word. Lord, for those of us that maybe have neglected the Word, Father, I pray that each one of us would be inspired to take hold of a life journal or build disciplines into our life that would give your Word a position of importance in our lives. Lord, for those of us that do it regularly but want to do more, that we would take those steps. For Lord, those who have struggled in the past or even currently to discipline themselves, to devote themselves to the Word, that would change, Father, that they would be able to do it out of delight and joy because your Holy Spirit is speaking to them through the Word. Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. In your mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.